Good morning, everyone. It's so good that we all can be here. The verses that Tanner just read, as is evident from just listening, is instructing the church at Corinth, who at that time had spiritual gifts given to men among them. And of course, we don't have that today. Then the inspired word was in the inspired man. Today, the inspired word is in written form. But the instructions to a local church are just as applicable when a church comes together to study the Word of God with the Word written as it was when the Word was in the man. We don't have spiritual gifts today, but there were four principles laid down here that are still as applicable as then. Let all things be done unto edifying. If prophets speak, let them speak one at a time. If tongue speakers speak, let there be an interpreter. And you may say, well, there's never occasion like this. I have seen occasion like that where a preacher being supported by an Anglo church couldn't speak English but came by to give a report, and he spoke. But he had an interpreter, and had he not had an interpreter, he would not have been to speak, because all things wouldn't have been unto edifying. And then, let all things be done decently and in order. All of those things are just as applicable today as they were when the Word was in the inspired man. With that, would you put up my chart, please? And this is the only chart that we have, and I want to just emphasize it a while and then go on with the lesson. When one hears the gospel, Romans 10:17, which is God's power to salvation, Romans 1:16, believes it, Hebrews 11:6, sufficiently, to repent as God demands all men, Acts 17:30, confesses Jesus as Christ unto salvation, Romans 10:10, and is baptized in the name of Christ for forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38. The Lord adds him to the church, that is the saved relationship, Acts 2:47. He is then a new creation in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Having read that, let us go back over it a little more slowly and try to digest it a little better. The gospel is God's power to salvation, and that gospel must be heard, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That doesn't necessarily mean that one must hear it with the ear, but he must hear it and perceive it. That may be by reading. But without the hearing of the word that was preached, one cannot have faith. And without this faith, it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. And when one hears this word, believes it sufficiently to lead him to repent as God commands all men to repent. God calls men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30. Confesses Jesus with the mouth unto salvation, Romans 10:10. And this faith is sufficiently strong to be baptized in the name of Jesus for remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Then he is added to the church, the saved relationship, and he's a new creation in Christ Jesus. And there's no other way that one can be a new creation in Christ Jesus. When God created the heavens and the earth, as recorded back in Genesis, in 7 days, man was the crowning glory of all of his creation. But this new creation in Christ Jesus supersedes that. It is the very most crowning glory of God's creation. This is the greatest blessing that's offered to man and the greatest privilege that man has to be a part of the new creation. But as we read the New Testament, we find that people in this saved relationship that have been baptized into Christ and added to other saved people who live in a locality or do have a special relationship with one another as they have this relationship with Christ. This is the local church. This is God's ordained arrangement for people who live in a locality to come together in one place to edify one another as we worship Him together. And there is no arrangement that man has ever come up with or can ever come up with that will take the place of it. The church at Philippi illustrates this. The Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write to the church at Philippi with saints, bishops, and deacons. The saved people at Philippi had agreed to work together. That's the saints agreed to work together under a common oversight. That's bishop or elder oversight. And to have deacons as special helpers to assist the elders and the congregation getting the work that God wants to done. To be done by the local church, done. That's what a local church is. That's what Benchley is. We've agreed to work together under a common oversight. And then the church at Philippi pooled their resources to finance the work that God wanted that local church to do. Dropping down to verses 14 and 15, Paul wrote, "Now ye Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church had fellowship with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once again to my need." So they agreed to work together under common oversight, pool their resources to finance the work of supporting the preaching of the gospel. That is the local church arrangement. And I emphasize, as said before, that it cannot be duplicated or replaced. As Tanner read from 1 Corinthians 14, we read that those who prophesied, who were doing the teaching, did it for the edification of the church. And so when a local church comes together today to study the written word, it is for the edification of the church as we glorify God together. We can teach sinners the way effectively on an individual basis. I would suspect that about all preachers have had the same experience that I have. And over all the years that I've been preaching, many more people have been taught the way and baptized into Christ from one-on-one or small group studies than have been led to Christ by my pulpit preaching. Individuals are to go forth and sow the seed of the kingdom. Some of it will fall on good soil and bring forth fruit. I've had many more individual and small group studies that did not produce 30, 60, or 100-fold than I have that did, but nevertheless, more people, by my feeble efforts, have been brought to Christ by my individual teaching than by my in assembly of teaching. Likewise, with benevolence, it can be done effectively. In fact, most benevolent work is assigned to the individual. But there is nothing that will take the place of coming together to glorify God as we edify one another. No arrangement can be made for that will work like God's arrangement does. No college Bible department or lectureship can equal it. No human institution like the Guardian of Truth lectures can do it. And brethren, no inline arrangement can do it. Don't jump ahead of me now and think that I'm saying that the inline worship is not now acceptable to God. I pray that it is. But I am saying that it cannot duplicate or replace saints coming together in one place to edify one another. We can convert sinners individually very effectively. We can do our benevolent work effectively. But it takes the coming together to teach and admonish and encourage one another to do edification effectively as God intended and wanted it to be. In Hebrews 10:24 and 25, the writer said, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching." The coming together in that passage was to provoke one another to love and good works. And we're told not to forsake it. I realize in that context, the Hebrews, some of them had left the faith to go back to Judaism to escape persecutions. Others were in danger of that. And in context, he was telling them not to forsake, and the word for forsaken there is abandon. Not give up or abandon, but the conclusion is inevitable. If they were not to abandon the assembling, but to assemble, to exhort one another to love and good works, then it is just as wrong to forsake the assembling of ourselves together to teach and admonish one another and exhort one another to love and good works. So God's arrangement is for a congregation to assemble, to teach and admonish one another and to love and good works. And when all things are natural, that's the way it must be. And I think we all will agree to that. God wants a local church to come together in one place to study, like we've noticed in 1 Corinthians 14, the word to be edified. So each will be built up in the faith. And God also wants a local church to come together on the first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper. I'll turn now to 1 Corinthians 11 and want to read a few verses. Beginning with verse 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. It should have been, but it wasn't. They'd made a gluttonous feast out of it, as we'll see. For in eating, everyone takes before his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken, and that's not inebriated, that's well filled, is what that's talking about. What have you not houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I received of the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new covenant of my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Christ. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat, and so let him drink. For he that eateth and drinketh in an unworthy manner, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Paul here mentions the Lord beginning, Jesus beginning the Lord's Supper, reference back to Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22. Let's go to Matthew 26 and in verse 29, Jesus said, Henceforth I shall not any more drink of this fruit of the vine with you until that day when the kingdom come. From that we learn that this supper is for people in the kingdom. He said there would be a day in the kingdom when the kingdom come. That passage doesn't tell us, but we learn from Acts 20 and 7 that the disciples in apostolic days came together on the first day of the week to break bread. So for the supper, the Lord ordained that disciples come together on the first day of the week to break bread. There are some that cannot conscientiously partake of the supper in an online service. There are some that can. I think all realize that it's not the ideal, and I hope it's not what we all want. And I hope the convenience of it does not cause anyone to get to where they prefer it. I pray that the Lord will accept our service in these troubling times in which we are, where some arrangements had to be made. But let us be sure that we pray earnestly and continually that the time will soon come when there will be no need for a special arrangement, and all of us can look forward to coming together to edify one another as we glorify God, and to together take the supper. There are some things that just can't be done on an online service. Look at the singing. Colossians 3:16, we're to teach and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and hear spiritual songs. Online service, those on the Zoom can only hear the song leader and those in his house. No teaching and admonishing generally of saints to saints in that. In 1 Corinthians 11, we read just a moment ago in verse 26, that when we take the supper, we show the Lord's death till he come. I believe that is talking about two things. When we take the Lord's Supper, we are showing or declaring unto God that we believe that Jesus died for us and is coming. But number two, it also involves that we are showing or evidence to one another as we observe others taking the supper as when we take it in the assembly, come together. That can't be accomplished on an online service. Like I said, I have prayed, do pray, and will continue to pray that until things can get back to absolutely normal, the Lord will accept our service. That's up to him. He will know, and he will do right. And personally, if I did not think that he would accept it, I would not, as an elder, agreed to it. But let us not get, brethren, to where we like it because of the convenience of it. God wants a local church to come together in one place on the first day of the week to break bread. The conclusion then is inevitable that the purpose of the local church membership is for brethren to edify one another as we glorify God together. And I say again for emphasis, no other arrangement can take place of this. If one understands and respects this, he or she will desire to be part of it. We're presently in a situation that's necessitated that we make some adjustments in our worship arrangements. And I repeat, in these troubling times, I pray that God will accept it. But also, let us understand that online worship is not a choice when things are to normal and there are no restrictions politically or health-wise, whatever, that make the whole church coming together in one place advisable. I hope, I pray, and I believe, relative to the members of this congregation, that we do understand all of this, that we do love the Lord, and that we do love one another and want to be together, to where we all are anxiously waiting and praying for the day when there will be no need for us to do anything other than to all come together in one place from time to time to study his word and to come together in one place to take the supper on the Lord's day. So let us pray that the time will soon come when we all can come together in one place, both for studies and most especially in one place on the first day of the week to take the supper. Let us pray now as we conclude the lesson. Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee so much for Thy love and for the arrangements that You've made for our salvation and for our worship and service of Thee. And we do pray, Father, that the time will soon be to where there will be no need for any special arrangements to be made for our studies and our worship, where we can freely come together without violating civil laws or without fear of contaminating others with some terrible disease, to where things will soon be back to normal, to where our gathering together to glorify Thee and edify one another can be back to normal. And pray, Father, that our hearts will be so attuned to Thee and others that we will earnestly desire and pray for this day and that diligently. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're now going to sing the song of invitation.